Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Christina Ho, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Accounting Policy and Financial Transparency within the U.S. Department of the Treasury. Also joining us from IBM is Catherine Eustace. Christina, would you explain the vision of a 360-degree spending transparency? What does that mean as a phrase, and what are some of the implications of realizing such a vision?
I developed this vision before the DATE Act even was enacted back in October 2013.
Did the DATE Act influence you? Because you probably, were you anticipating it being passed?
Or no.
This was completely top level? Okay.
Yeah, this was when fiscal service started to view data transparency as one of their top strategic goals. And I spent some time thinking about the transparency. The reason I felt like the 360 spending transparency is important is that the federal government spends money differently from an average citizen or company. Every time you and I spend money, it is a single transaction. We buy a cup of coffee and we pay for it. That's it. The federal government has a much more complicated process that the general public may not understand. It starts with appropriation, then it goes to apportionment, all these different special term obligation, and ultimately payment. From the time it got the funds get appropriated, that process could take a while. And if we don't present the spending information in the right context within that 360 spending life cycle, I will call the data quality and the government's credibility into questions. For example, when people say how much they've spent, it could mean different stage of that spending life cycle, and therefore the number could be different. So that's why it's very important that we present the information in the right context, and I believe the 360-degree spending life cycle is the right context, and it's easy to understand. Yeah. And for the data, we are actually fitting within a portion of that spending life cycle. The DATE Act doesn't require all of the stages to be reported. What's required is the award information, obligation, and outlay. So I think by implementing the DATE Act, it's setting us on a path to eventually get to that ultimate vision.
But when agencies hear that there's a new regulation or legislation, they usually think of it as responding with a compliance exercise. To be successful, how important is it for agencies to approach the DATE Act implementation not as a compliance exercise, but rather as an opportunity to transform the agency's access, share, and use of data?
Our vision for the DATE Act implementation is better data, better decisions, which will lead to better government. We spend a lot of time in the beginning to try to articulate that value proposition with the agencies to make sure that we encourage them not to treat it just as a compliance exercise. It's been very encouraging to see the number of agency CFO who have actually embraced the vision of the data and see this as an opportunity for them to get better access to more data, which will ultimately help them make better decisions. CFO in particular, several of them have actually been publicly speaking about the value of the DATE Act and the opportunity it will present. As we do our implementation, I mentioned earlier about agile development, we're always mindful about making sure people see our progress. And we have been incrementally piloting real data and allow agencies to see what it means when the financial data and the award data are linked and what information they'll have and what insight they will have based on that they didn't have before. And I think we have been able to demonstrate that. In my mind, a 21st century federal government should not have data calls. And I think that often resonates with agency very well.
But this is a significant change management and organizational shift. What help are the federal agencies receiving to ensure success of the Data Act? And how can the flow of the data help foster the culture of continuous improvement?
Treasury has established a program management office at our Bureau of the Fiscal Service to support the government-wide Data Act implementation. Our program management office developed resources for agencies. We conducted workshops, hold monthly meetings with our senior accountable officials. We also hold weekly office hour with agencies. And very recently, we also held what we call a sandbox session for agency to actually bring their data to Treasury to test it against our prototype broker. We're also speaking with agencies about other resources or business intelligence tools that we could provide to help them analyze the data. There is a huge opportunity for agency CFOs, program managers, and leadership to use this data to continuously improve. And Treasury feel while it is the agency's responsibility to provide quality data, it's Treasury's responsibility to make sure that that's as easy as possible. So we develop tools and resources to support the agencies.
And I'd like to talk at least about a couple of those tools or outline a couple of the key steps that can help agencies fulfill the requirements of the Data Act. And how does the Data Act playbook factor into this effort? What other tools have you folks provided to help agencies get from point A to point B?
Yes. So we developed and published the Data Act playbook, which includes 8 steps. And the first step is organize the team. This might be one of the most important or difficult step. As I mentioned earlier, this is cross-functional, and it requires a team of people with different subject matter expertise and skill sets. It also requires someone to really lead and facilitate that team so that they can collectively and collaboratively working together to reach solution. The second step is to review the 57 data elements and then inventory the 57 data elements to see where the data resides. Then based on that, to really strategize what's the best approach for that agencies, because we want the agency to use this as an opportunity to also think about the other data challenges. And there might be opportunity as they design their solution and strategy to solve those problems as well. And then the fifth step is execute broker. Broker is something Treasury is actually developing right now. The broker is a tool that's intended to help agency validate the data and also structure the data into the Data Act schema. We didn't want agency to bear the burden of providing the data already in the schema. So this is a very important tool that we think will be helpful to agency and minimize their burden. The sandbox I mentioned earlier was actually a prototype broker that we developed that agency could actually upload their file and experience that. Then the sixth step is testing the broker implementation, update their system, and submit data. We're holding regular meetings and calls with agencies over the next 2 years as implementation continues, and we will continue to develop resources to support the agency teams.
Well, you've mentioned, Christina, USAspending.gov a couple of times, and I wanted to understand, what are you doing to improve the quality of data that's submitted to this site?
Yes. So what the first thing is to have data standard that will ensure that the data is consistently defined and extracted. We want to get the data from the source, so that will ultimately help with data quality, because before the data even get to USA spending, that data probably has traveled through multiple systems. And some of them probably have manual steps in between. So to make sure that data come from the source is really important to the data quality. And then lastly, I think, is to align the incentives with accountability. Ultimately, agencies own the data that they are providing to Treasury to publish, and they are accountable for making sure that the data provided to Treasury for publication is of quality. And then if they are also using those data themselves, if we make it easy for them to consume the same data that they didn't have easy access either through visualization tool or other analytical tool, that will make them want to use their own data more. And if they're using it regularly, they'll want the data to be good quality.
Mm-hmm. So from a classic sort of people, process, technology perspective, which of these three, or maybe all of them, provide the largest impact on data app implementation and holds the biggest challenge for the success of the effort? If you were to look at the people, the process, and the technology, are they all equal, or is something really driving this as the most challenging?
They're definitely not equal. I would say technology is the least challenging.
Okay. Wow.
The biggest challenge, I would say, would be people. Okay. And that means not just the skill set, but the culture. I mentioned earlier about historically the government is set up that there's not a lot of cross-functional interaction. And when you have to do that and you have to engage with people who have different background, who may not speak the same exact language as you, that's challenging. So I would rate people as the highest, and it's mainly because people also involves culture, and some of the culture are very deep rooted.
What are some of the key challenges in implementing the Data Act? We will ask Christina Ho, Deputy Assistant Secretary for Accounting Policy and Financial Transparency at the U.S. Department of the Treasury, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.